T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Dale Arnold.
Or he's a gagger. When he's Puka.
No. Chuka.
Rich Keefe.
You know, like a story of a guy who's gotten beaten down on the old social media?
Dale and Keefe. Middays.
Pick number 14 will be made by the Boston Celtics. The third pick goes to the New York Knicks.
Damn! Oh, oh, oh!
The WEEI Sports Radio Network.
I've been catching up on the reaction of Knicks fans on Twitter and on the internet. We'll get to all of that.
They're taking it well.
Next. Yeah. Oh,
they're
my
doing
God.
Just fine.
Stephen A. apparently recorded a video in a closet with the door shut.
He decided to do that in the dark like
in
that.
In the dark.
Maybe that'll be the new thing. Maybe we should all do that. We should record videos, you know, at night.
Maybe
with all
do
the
that.
Lights off.
Well, later on, we'll, and Wiggy will be in here at 11 o'clock.
It's a Wednesday with Wiggy.
Yep, he'll be
looking
here.
Looking forward to that.
We will start,
yes,
obviously, talking about the Bruins and their 2-1 win last night.
Pretty good.
I was listening early this morning to Mutton Callahan, as I do every morning.
Yes, smart.
And with all due respect to Jerry, he just could not be more wrong.
Oh, boy.
Now, look, this is not his fault. He doesn't talk a lot of hockey.
That
he
is
knows
his
hockey.
Fault. That is his fault.
No, no, here's my point.
Okay.
He likes hockey. He goes to games. They don't talk a lot about it.
No.
So for him to say on the air this morning that, oh, nobody's been critical of Tuca, that's a storyline, that's a narrative.
Maybe this week they haven't been.
Last couple of weeks they haven't been. This week you'd sound a little silly, wouldn't you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. There's not a lot of Tuca haters in the playoffs. But even the first few games of this playoffs, there was the question about Tuca sucks or you can't win a cup with Tuca. That's sort of the hard line that people would take, right?
And,
it's like you just can't win a cup with them. And you're like, all right, well.
Mutt, to his credit, was trying to bring up specific articles.
Yeah.
And he brought up a Joe Haggerty piece from October where Haggerty was in effect saying, look, the way Halak's playing, maybe now's a good time to trade Tuca.
Right.
And other things like that. There have been a lot of them.
Well, and you remember, too, going back earlier in the year, Tuukka Rask, there was definitely some ups and downs. Halak was
He had to take a little leave.
A personal leave.
We still don't know what that's about.
We have no idea, and you're wondering, all right, well, is this guy going to be able to, you know, get his head on straight and have a great postseason run? Like, you felt like they were going to be a playoff team, but what was he going to be there? And he and Halak essentially did split time this year.
Yes.
Tuukka played 46 of the 82 games. Last year, there was times where, was it Hudobin, like, would play okay, but you knew he wasn't a real starter. So Halak was the one guy that he has played with after Tim Thomas has left that he said he really could be a number one goalie. And so there were a lot of questions about Tuukka. There have been his entire career. There's been highs and lows throughout his career.
You know, he was sick. He couldn't play in the last game of the regular season when they needed him.
Yeah.
It is a common thread that's been going for a while. Now, we pointed back to the 2013 postseason when the Bruins lost in the sixth game of the Stanley Cup Final to the Chicago Blackhawks. Tuukka Rask was incredible over that entire playoff run. And the four-game sweep of Pittsburgh with Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. And, I mean, that whole thing, Jerome Iginla was on that team. He gave up 2 goals in 4 games. He was unbelievable. Because of the way Game 6 ended, it was, well, there he goes again.
I was going to say, you look back on that cup run, or the losing in the cup final, and Tuukka takes a lot of that blame. Even though, you're right, he allows 2 goals in 4 games against the Pittsburgh Penguins and that high-powered offense.
Now,
and
the defense was incredible in that series.
And even in against Chicago, it wasn't all Tuukka's fault, but it's so easy to blame the goaltender. It's just the easiest thing because there's so many other guys on the ice here and there, but the only guy that's out there the entire time, and then you can look at each goal and you can break it down in slow-mo and you can say, oh, this was a bad goal. So Tuukka was going to take some of the blame for that. Just like, it's fitting that they're up 3-0 in the series. Well, the Bruins, one time in their history, had a 3-0 lead and lost that series.
He was the goaltender.
He was the goaltender. And there was a lot of other stuff. Didn't Krejci get hurt or whatever? Like, there was a lot of things that happened in that series. But who was in net for that? So those are two things that jump out. Because if you look at Tuukka's overall playoff numbers for his career, they're fantastic. But people kind of latch on to, well, they had a 3-0 lead and they lost it, or they lost it in the Stanley Cup final, or whatever else it is. But this run, I mean, he is shutting a lot of people up, but he ultimately won't be able to do that until...
Unless they win the
yes,
Cup.
Yes, he has five
Absolutely.
More games he has to win.
Now, in the first 6.5 minutes of last night's game, he had 11 saves.
Holy smokes. It felt like 100 saves.
I know. I said that seems low.
Yeah.
In the first 20 minutes of last night's game, he had 20 saves. You knew that the Carolina Hurricanes, we said this, Carolina knows.
They came out.
They lose the
swinging.
Game. They're done. They're going to be desperate. And they came out and played like they were desperate. At the end of 20 minutes, they've outshot the Bruins 20-6. They had to have gone back into their dressing room and go,
what do we do?
Now what do we do?
What do we do? I think Luke Kuechly got him going, first of all.
Yeah.
He was all into that siren. He was giving it 110%. He got that thing fired up. But Carolina came out a house of fire. And Tuukka Rask, you know what's going to be even more frustrating? I was thinking about this watching the game last night. When Carolina is just peppering shots, and because of Tuukka's style that we've talked about a lot compared to either Tim Thomas or some of the other goaltenders that are a little bit more flashy, even
Flipping
Bobrovsky.
And flopping and...
Yeah, like at least those guys, yeah. You feel like you might break them down. Like they're making highlight saves, but man, you can tell you're making them work. When Tuukka just slides from side to side and is so... even keel, that he's just making these like, you know, quick blocker saves or whatever, it's going to drive you nuts because you think you're doing all you can and he's barely moving in there. So I don't know, like mentally, that's going to absolutely get to you if you're Carolina. Like they had that one sequence where they had four shots in a row and he's like, nope, 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 nope.
Thanks for coming.
Yeah, like get out of here. It was like, that was incredible because if the Bruins had McElhinney or Mrazek as their goalie, they're down 3 or 4 nothing
in the first
period.
Yes, absolutely.
100%
there. By the way, McElhinney played fine.
He was fine. He wasn't really tested a whole lot. You mentioned, what was it, 6 first period shots.
Then so in the second period.
Early second period.
The Bruins flipped
yes,
it.
Yes, they did.
They outshoot Carolina 18-6.
Weren't you surprised to see that, by the way? We've talked about all the bad second periods they've had.
And they were great in the second period. Patrice Bergeron mentioned this post-game. He said the entire Bruins bench got such a lift out of the Chris Wagner goal, 1:31 into the second period. You know, you get outshot 20-6. You're on your heels. You're scoreless at the end of one. Then 1:31 into the second, a tic-tac-toe passing play by the fourth line.
I was going to say, once again, you got a third or the fourth line scoring first for you. You
know, and Carolina had to be going, are you kidding me?
Right. We just put 20 shots on Tuukka. We got nothing. And now the Bruins are out there with Wagner, Corrali, and Nordstrom, and they score. And that's sort of what Brindamore Moore was saying the day before. We were playing how he was saying, I wish their first line was going because everybody else is going. Then you know it's only a matter of time till the first line gets going. And then how the hell are you going to beat this team? But we've said the big difference really this year and last year is the balanced scoring that they're getting and also the power play, you know, in this series and in the first series has been unstoppable. And so for them to get a goal by Wagner and then not too much longer, because again, McElhinney is just... He is what he is. He's a backup goaltender. You hope if
35-year-old backup goaltender.
Yeah, in their
who
case,
was making his sixth playoff start.
Right, exactly. And what, four of them are in this playoff run or whatever? So this guy just, he's average at best. And so the Bruins were able to get to him in the second period. But I wasn't sure how it was going to go because after Carolina got absolutely embarrassed in game two, I thought, sure, they're going to have some pride. They're not just going to lay down in the first period. And so they got up to that hot start. But then when you're down 2-0 and you've given everything you can against Tuukka and you haven't scored, I was wondering if it was just going to turn into another bloodbath, but it didn't. You know, Carolina was able to get one and then play pretty even after that.
Justin Williams lost his bleeping mind last night.
Of all the guys to be an idiot.
I mean, he's a 17-year veteran, Mr. Game 7. Could have been Mr. 5-7 the way he was going last night. You know, he's won Stanley Cups. He's the captain of the team. He got called for 3 minor penalties in the first. The officials missed 2 others. He should have been called for 5 minor penalties in the first period.
Yeah, and this is the guy that talked about the poop sandwich. This is that guy.
That's the guy.
This is the guy that was taking the cheese last game. This is the guy that Brad Marchand was giving the great, hey, you're the captain. Here's the C. You'll go over there. That's where you go into the box. Justin Williams, as you said, has won 3 Stanley Cups and was a Conn Smythe winner. He's got the.
He's been a great player. I have real respect for his game.
He's a real playoff player.
He's been nuts in this series.
He's an idiot. He's an idiot. He's on the ice for 15 minutes. He was in the box for 6. What the hell are you doing? And
should have been 10.
Right, exactly. And was fortunate to only be in there for 6. And the way that he is playing, of all the guys to commit stupid penalties, you wouldn't think it'd be your 37-year-old playoff veteran guy. He is just, he and Krug are getting into this back and forth. I mean, he is absolutely letting them down.
The elbow to the head he threw at Krug.
Yeah.
I mean, they won't, but the Department of Player Safety could look at that play.
Or when he's punching Backus, who's already on the ground. He's punching Backus in the back of the head.
As it turns out, that was the goal, that one of the two goals that they disallowed. But he's punching Backus in the back of the head much more forcefully than the Brad Marchand rabbit punch to the back of Harrington's head.
Much more. And Harrington was at least upright. He was on his knees, but he was upright, so he wasn't getting punched into the ice or into the goal.
Well, first Williams put his knee into the neck of Backus and then punched him in the back of the head, as you said, with his face down on the ice.
But, like, what happened to that guy? He's lost his mind, because if you're on that team, if you're one of the younger guys on that team, like Aho or whoever else, aren't you kind of looking to Williams to, hey, we're down in this series,
we need some leadership here.
We need something here. And he's out there pushing Krug like a mile away from the puck. You're like, what are you doing? Yeah, I don't know what his problem is. And it's funny because it's like, all right, maybe he had a mistake last game and he's saying, you know, we screwed up, I screwed up, and we're going to be better. Well, you were worse.
You made it worse.
You were worse. And now you're down 3-0 and forget about it.
On Hockey Night in Canada, Don Cherry talked about Justin Williams
last
night.
Don's back.
He is ready. I'm telling you, boy, he in that dressing room, he's got them wired. You can't believe. I still say the Bruins going to win, but it's going to be a lot harder because you do a stupid thing to a guy like Williams. All right.
Now, there are some who might say that's inauspicious, that you're running around like that.
But first of all, I don't know what auspicious means.
But you know what I mean. They would think he's off his game or lost his focus.
Gentlemen,
crazy.
You listen to me. Right. You have a guy like that pumped up. He's 18 years in the league. He knows what's going on. He's won the cup. These guys have won the cup. He goes in. He got them pumped up. He'll settle down in the second one. And I'm telling you right now, that team is pumped. They don't believe in tradition. They wear black at home. They let their captain get pushed around, the whole deal. But he's got them pumped, and it's going to be a lot tougher than I thought it would be to beat these guys out.
It's good.
They're down three.
That's good. He goes, that's good. Was it? He wasn't listening. He was probably had a producer
three,
in his ear.
Two,
being like,
one.
Yeah, throw it a break. Don, I would say he's lost his mind, but that's happened years ago. What was he
They're
talking about?
They're now down 3-0 in the
Williams
best of seven series.
Is a big part of that.
A huge part of it.
He was atrocious. I don't know how you can say, oh, he's got him pumped up. No, they were pumped. It had nothing to do with Justin Williams at the beginning of the game. Their crowd, give them credit. You know, I crapped on the Columbus crowd. They were really loud. You know, we made fun of the Carolina crowd, or I made fun of them. They were really loud. Piped in noise or not, I don't know, but it was loud.
He goes in, he got them pumped up.
I don't think, if anything, he was taking away. He's spending all this time in the penalty box. Yeah, he has screwed them. He has not been the 18-year veteran, this playoff hero that they were expecting.
And again, I've got great respect for him.
He's had a nice career.
I have always liked his game, respected his game.
It's surprising that it's him.
It's
if it was
weird.
Another guy, you'd say, all right, he's kind of losing his mind. He's never been in the conference finals before. It's like, this guy's played in how many Stanley Cup final games? A bunch. He's won three of them. So for him to act that way, I don't know. And then Don Cherry's trying to like give him credit for getting everybody fired up. I don't really see that. I think one of the other big takeaways from the game, Dale, was that Carolina's overall lack of skill kind of showed itself. They had a few times where they actually beat Tuukka. They got Tuukka to be, the great pass and then a whiff, or, a one-timer on an empty net and it would just, hit the post, or it hit Tuukka, or it would just missed the goal altogether. They had a 5-on-3 for about 90 seconds.
Yeah.
Couldn't
had
score.
Had a 4-on-3, then a 5-on-3.
So, I mean, come on. That you got to score on those. So
now, we've talked about how, the Tuukka bashers have really had to kind of pipe down a bit here during this playoff series. There is also a legion out there of Chara bashers, the ones who want him out, get him out of here. He was immense last
night. Best game of the playoffs by Chara.
He was unbelievable last night.
Yeah, he was. And I know, and we're going to talk to Wiggy, and Wiggy was obviously, he's really down on Chara based on our last visit. And I understand the criticism of Chara, especially, in the playoffs here. There have been moments where he hasn't been his best. But out of all the games that they have played, what is it, like 18 playoff games or whatever? I think that was absolutely his best. He was out there on the 5-on-3 for a while.
The 4-on-3, the 5-on-3.
He actually had huge minutes because Carlo did not have his best game. He was also in the box for 2 minutes, but overall that was not Carlo's best game. So Chara played – He had the second most ice time amongst defensemen. McAvoy was the leader, but Chara was out there for over 22 minutes, and about 5.5 of that was shorthanded. He was
and he's
great.
Out there for entire penalty kills.
And actually, I feel like maybe for the first time in this playoff run, he was beating guys to the puck. Like, a lot of times it would, all right, the opponent would skate past him, get the puck, and then Chara would have to defend. This time, I feel like he was actually beating guys there. So, I don't know what it was, but he seemed like he had a little bit more speed in his game last night.
Yeah. The Bruins had 2 goals disallowed last night. The first one, I understand, you know, they said Backes kind of pushed Curtis McElhinney into the net.
Was also getting pushed, but I'm with you. Fine. Yeah. I don't really care about that one.
The second one, look, I've said this on a number of occasions. I'm baffled by what the NHL sees. It looked pretty clear to me that Jake DeBrusque got pushed into the goaltender. Now, he definitely made contact with McElhinney because he got pushed into him.
So that one was, okay. We don't know what goalie interference is based off of the playoffs.
No.
You could see
good luck
one,
trying to figure it out.
That's a goal. That's not a goal. It's, you know, like, you know, NFL officials trying to figure out what a catch is and what isn't. But I thought it was, he actually got contacted, DeBrusque did, by, I think it was Slavin was the defenseman that
Jacob
was right there.
Slavin.
And McElhinney. McElhinney, just outside of the crease, tripped him. And like he put his skate out, and he initiated contact while Slavin was pushing him. So he made contact with both players, but I think they initiated it. Plus, he was kind of falling away from it. Like, sometimes you'll see it where the guy gets pushed or his momentum is going into the goalie
like
or into the
Tuukka
actual
Rask
goal.
Like when Tuukka Rask got blasted an earlier game in this series.
And
but
so,
we're good.
Yeah, yeah, you're like, oh,
he got pushed
here.
Into him.
Right.
Remember, they said that.
They did.
They said, oh, no, Stephen Kampfer gave him a little shot. He got pushed into the goalie.
He's like, yeah, I guess. Well, even that one, like the Backes one on McElhinney, I think it might have been Falk was the one that was kind of on top of him. But you don't really know who started it, and then the goalie ends up being like completely in the goal. That was actually a cool little camera shot. Like he's fully in the goal for that one. And you're like, okay, I understand what's going on. But DeBrusque was getting pushed away, and he's just in front of the net. It was on they're on the power play. He's supposed to be in front of the net. That's what he does.
That's
I thought he was in the right
exactly
position.
Exactly what he's supposed to do.
But the call on the ice was no goal. So when they went to the replay, I kind of had a feeling that maybe that would stand, whereas had it been a goal on the ice, maybe it still would have stood as and we would have been left not knowing what goalie interference is. We would have said, all right.
And you know what?
I don't know what it is.
We still don't know.
We still have no idea.
I don't know.
I'm just really glad that once again that didn't come back to bite them, and it's not they lose this game. You say, well, had they gotten that call going for them, they would have been better. But I'll be interested. We're going to talk to Brian Boucher coming up. I'll be interested to get his thoughts on that specific call, too.
Brian Boucher is a New Englander. Yep. Went to Mount St. Charles Academy. In fact, he's going to be inducted into the Rhode Island Hockey Hall of Fame in September.
Pretty good.
He is a rising star at NBC Sports. This is, you know, the A-team with Doc Emrick and Eddie Olczyk.
He's been really good.
Brian Boucher is now the guy between the benches for this, you know, the A-team, for this group. And more importantly, for our analysis purposes this morning, you know, a former goaltender, he can talk about what he saw from Tuukka Rask, what he's seen from Tuukka Rask during this playoff push.
Absolutely.
Because I could make an argument, last night was as good a game as I've ever seen him play.
I think so, too. Now, I know, before anybody mentions it, the goal that he allowed was not the greatest goal.
It was a terrible goal.
It was not the greatest goal.
No, there's no doubt.
But he's getting absolutely peppered in the first period. You know what? I think we'll give you the benefit of the doubt there. Well, you're allowed one of those because you made so
many
good saves.
Especially because you didn't allow anything else after that.
I don't think a goalie, and this isn't even hyperbole, I think the first period, you're not going to find a goalie playing better than that.
No, because that's as good as it gets.
Especially when you take into account, you know, what was on the line for Carolina, how loud the place was, how desperate they were playing, the opportunities that they had, throwing some of the power plays and everything else, and for Tuukka just to stonewall everybody and allow the Bruins to sort of catch their breath in a way and then come back out strong in the second period, that was great. And you're right, overall, you know, outside of maybe a shutout here or there that he's had in his career, it is hard to top. That was an unbelievable performance.
As we were watching the game together, and it's Andy Brickley and Barry Peterson and I are watching the game together because, you know, obviously we're going to work post-game. And I don't remember if it was Brick or Barry, but one of them said during the course of the game, you know, the officials have not had their best game here tonight.
Oh, that's kind of par for the course.
Now, thankfully, you can say that in the aftermath of a win and not sound like you're whining about it.
Yeah, true.
They just didn't have a very good game. Both sides, by the way. There was the Bruins were on a power play. They called a penalty on DeBrusque. The referee who's out at center ice calls the penalty.
That DeBrusque penalty, we'll put in quotes, was insane because they showed the replay and you're like, what did he do?
Didn't do anything. They called it a slash.
There was no slash there.
And the referee who was 20 feet away didn't make a call.
Yeah.
The referee who was 80 feet away made the call.
That one was worse than was it game one or game two, the Sean Corrali roughing penalty in the first period. I thought they should have let it go, but you're like, all right, well, he did kind of hit him. So, I mean, technically, maybe that's a penalty. Whereas this one, you said that's not even technically anything. This isn't like, hey, it's playoff hockey, let it go. No, preseason, that's not a penalty. Like, regular game 40 of the season, like, that's never a penalty. And they just like, yep, you're going in the box. It was crazy. I mean, penalties all over the place yesterday. And you're right. I don't think it really favors one team or the other. It's just there was a lot of whistles.
I'm not saying. There were calls that went against the Bruins. There were calls that went against Carolina. And as I said, at least in the aftermath of a win, you don't come off like you're whining about this.
The same with the goalie interference. I could say I thought that should have been a goal. Had they lost, then you're like, all right, baby. Like, too bad it wasn't.
It would have been. Can you imagine if you end up giving up the lead here and you end up losing it in overtime or something and you're pointing back to that and saying, now, why'd you take that goal away?
Yeah, I mean, you could probably blame the refs almost every game based on some of these calls. You can really latch on them and say, oh, what a difference the game would have been. But yeah, the Bruins ultimately were able to hang on behind Tuukka Rask, and then contributions from special teams in the fourth line.
Fourth
seems consistent
line again. Yeah. We'll talk to Brian Boucher of NBC Sports in just a couple of minutes. We'll get his take on this whole thing. Top of the hour, Wiggy will join us. It's Wednesdays with Wiggy. We got a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about with him, including the NBA draft lottery last night. Chris Sale, brilliant.
Whew.
And doesn't get the win.
No decision.
No decision.
Yeah.
We got a bunch of stuff we're going to talk about with you guys as well at 617-779-7937. It's Dale and Keith, but first we've got a trend.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Bruins win 2-1 in Game 3 last night in Raleigh, North Carolina. They take a 3-0 lead in the best-of-seven series. You've been watching all the games. And by the way, the game did a 17 in Boston last night. So
everybody was watching.
A lot of you are watching. You've noticed the work of this guy, former NHL goaltender and the pride of Mount St. Charles Academy, Brian Boucher, joins us. Boosh, how are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, there we go. Now we're talking.
Sorry, Brian. It was our end, not yours. And I appreciate you taking the time. Other than a terrible soft goal, did Tuukka Rask play the perfect game for a goaltender last night?
Oh, yeah, I think he did. And look, it's a soft goal, but as a goaltender, I'll tell you, that's a bad luck goal. He did everything that you'd want him to do. I mean, his pads were there. Yeah, you can make an argument. Maybe the stick's not there, but you trust your pads to be able to withstand a slap shot like that. So I'm not going to beat him up too badly on the goal. But yeah, it was as close to as perfect a performance you could have in goal, considering the fact that you knew Carolina would have a strong push at the start of the game and that you'd have to weather that storm. 20 saves in the first period, many of the big-time varieties. Some were lucky. I mean, if we saw the one replay where it just ended up in his glove, that certainly helps. But for Rask, man, I don't know. I don't know that I've ever seen him be sharper than he is right now. He's in his zone, and for him, he just wants to keep playing games every other day, and when you do that, it's easy to stay in the zone. But yeah, it's as close to as perfect a game as I've seen in a long time.
What was your impression of Tuukka Rask before this playoff run even began? You know, now obviously you're getting a chance to see him night in and night out, but before the playoffs began in Boston, he's very polarizing, as most goaltenders are. But there are definitely there was a group that said you can't win a cup with him. Others defended him. Where did you come down going into this playoff run?
I always thought Tuukka was a real good NHL number one goaltender. And, you know, I think the unfortunate part, I mean, if you look at his history of winning games, I mean, every year it's been a consistent 30-plus wins year after year. So you have to respect that, and especially a guy that played the position, you know, how difficult that is to have that consistency year after year. But when you don't win a Stanley Cup, and he has a Stanley Cup, but he did not, he was not the starting goaltender when they won the Stanley Cup that year. It was Tim Thomas, and the year prior, you know, he was the guy in goal that, that coughed up the 3-0 lead to Philadelphia. So you can understand why there would be a source of frustration from the fan base. You have to win in order to silence the critics. And I think for Tuukka, it was a good regular season. He didn't play as much. And I think in a lot of ways, having Jaroslav Halak there to kind of ease the workload a bit has really helped him at this time of the year to be even more fresh than he has been in the past. He's a slight guy, so it's not like, you know, he could probably handle playing 65 plus in the regular season and then have to play your best hockey for the next 2 months. It's an awfully difficult thing to do physically and mentally. And I think he's just in a good place right now. I think he's mentally sharp. I think physically he feels good. And the lesser workload that he had during the regular season is paying off. And this is probably the guy that I think that Boston management thought was the guy that they'd see, you know, most postseasons in the past. It probably didn't play out that way, maybe the way most fans wanted it. But however you arrive at this situation is how you arrive. And he certainly has been great. And we'll see if he can continue it the rest of the way.
We're talking to Brian Boucher of NBC Sports. I have great respect for Justin Williams. He's the captain of the Hurricanes, has won Stanley Cups, has been in the league for a long time. And I thought he lost his damn mind in the first period last night. He was called for 3 minor penalties, could have and probably should have been called for 2 others. What do you think was going on?
Yeah, he's frustrated right now. And that's really surprising, Dale, because, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I played with early on in his career. I know him pretty well. And he's typically a guy that's got a cool head about him. And I think right now he's frustrated. I think he's come unglued at times in this series, and he is the captain of this team. And a lot of those young guys look up to Justin Williams. I mean, there's other veterans in that room like Jordan Staal and Justin Falk. But, you know, for the most part, you know, Justin Williams is their guy that they look to. 3 Stanley Cups, played in a lot of big games. And for whatever reason, right now, he's come unglued. And you know, in a lot of ways, it's unfortunate because he's a guy that typically plays with class and plays with that, you know, that poise that you need to win and play in big games. And I think the Bruins have just done a really good job of agitating him, getting underneath his skin and getting him to do things that are uncharacteristic. You know, even his comments there after game 2, you know, it brought a lot of chuckles and laughs, but I wasn't a big fan of a comment like that. You know, like I think, you know, when you lose a game, you just you take your lumps and you just you make it like it's not that big a deal. But I felt like there was more made of it with his comments. And I just feel like he's just become a little bit frustrated. And that really is uncharacteristic of Justin Williams. He's a guy that typically has a lot more poise, but it just goes to show you when you play a deep team like the Bruins are. They got 4 lines they can play. They got guys that can get underneath their skin. They play any type of game you want to play. It can be frustrating, even for the guys that are most experienced, and in this case, Justin Williams.
Both teams took 7 penalties in the game. Do you attribute that to lack of discipline? Is it not knowing, you know, what's being called, like the consistency with the refs? Or what would you say is the reason for so many penalties in the game and in the series?
I think it's a little bit of both. I think there was some undisciplined play. I mean, speaking about Justin right. Williams, you know, that was the case there. But also, too, from each game to game, you get 2 new officials, 2 new referees every game, and some guys want to call it tighter than others. But you could figure that out typically in the first 10, 12, 15 minutes of a hockey game of how it's going to be called. And I think the calls were made early on in that game to set the tone that, you know, this is going to be called pretty tightly, so you might want to err on the side of caution when it comes to playing on the edge. And look, if it's going to be a penalty-filled game, it's going to be to the Bruins' advantage all day long. So I don't think Boston in any way, shape, or form minds going down shorthanded. If they want to play on the edge for the Bruins in this series, I think they should do it. I mean, the Hurricanes' power play does not strike fear into me. I would say take penalties, try and cheat for some shorthanded opportunities and see if he can frustrate them as well. And when you get on the power play, you know you're going to get some pretty darn good looks. I think the Hurricanes have had a difficult time trying to sort out Boston's power play. I think they've been way too loose in front of their own net, leaving guys in front there. So if it goes to a special teams game in this series, it plays in Boston's advantage. It has so far, and I suspect it'll continue to be that way for Boston when they eventually get this fourth win.
Brian, as a former goaltender in this league, do you think you have a handle on what is considered goaltender interference?
No, it's one of the, sometimes I think I have, and I'm, you know, last night I didn't really give an opinion on what I thought the call should be, just because I really was stumped on that one. It could have gone either way for me, but the eye test tells me immediately that that should have been no goal last night. There was not enough of a push from Slavin into DeBrus to make me think otherwise. But yeah, I mean, some games you talk yourself out of your intuition and, you know, you kind of second guess yourself. It's tough. I mean, as a goalie, I always try to look at it from the goalie's point of view and say, hey, is there a way that the goalie could have made this save? Because I was always sensitive to that side of it, right? You're so focused, and as a goalie, you're so focused on the puck and you're focused on the shooter that, you know, sometimes the stuff off to the side, you're not sure how you got bumped, whether it was your defender that pushed him into you. So my mind always tends to want to go there and protect the goaltenders, but, I also want to see some goals scored as well. So, but yeah, it's one of the great mysteries, I guess, for us broadcasters is try and figure that out on the fly. It can be awfully difficult.
Are you in favor of the replay? You know, whatever it might be, you know, you see the goalie interference, you see the challenge, and then you go back and you see it. And then even after looking at the replay, half the people think it should be a goal, half the people think it shouldn't be a goal. So are you in favor of it, even though it slows down the game? Because obviously the idea is to get the call right, or do you think they should just, you know, get rid of it altogether?
With regard to goalie interference, I'm totally fine with it. I think the officials sometimes need to, you know, get another look at it and make the better call. There's no doubt it's a fast game, and these guys try their best, even with two referees out there. They do their best at trying to figure it out in real time, but sometimes they need a little bit of help too. And it's good to put the onus on the team to see if they want a challenge. At that point now it becomes a decision. You know, for last night for Cassidy, it was, hey, do I want to risk a timeout to see if we can get a 3-1 lead? And sometimes I think it's a risk worth taking. Like last night, I thought it could have gone either way. I was talking in my head that it could have gone either way. And then after I look at it, I say, the goalie really didn't have a chance to make that save. But as far as goalie interference, yes, I'm all about replay. The one that I'm a little bit cooling off on is the offsides. I don't know. I think these guys, for the most part, do the best they can, and I think most fans would be okay with maybe the skate being up in the air and the one skate in the zone, letting that go, because if you did it from looking straight down, half his body is still onside. I think most people would be okay with it. I think that's the one that where you're trying to find the right camera angle. That seems to slow things down, but in the spirit of wanting to get it right all the time, I guess you got to look at it from that angle too, trying to get the offsides correct. But for goalie interference, I'm good with it. Offsides, I'm cooling that a bit.
Final question before we let you go. Going into this series, we thought the Bruins had the advantage in goal and on special teams. I'm not sure we realized what a decided advantage they have in the bottom six forwards, because I don't think Rod Brind'Amour has an answer for either the Bruins' third or fourth lines.
It's a great point, Dale. Yesterday morning, talking to Rod Brind'Amour, one comment that stood out was that he almost wished that the conversation was about trying to stop the Bergeron line and just stopping them and then figuring out how they win a game. He's been more baffled by the fact that, the bottom six for Boston has played a bigger role in this and that he does not have an answer for that. And I think that's where he's overwhelmed by the depth of this Boston team. The Bergeron line hasn't really been a factor offensively in this series. And for Brind'Amour, that's a real source of frustration. Credit to the Bruins. I mean, credit to Don Sweeney for going out and picking up Charlie Coyle at the deadline. He's been fantastic these playoffs. Marcus Johansson, not a lot of fanfare when that trade was made, and a lot of it was, hey, trying to find a right winger for David Krejci, and it turns out this guy's a third line left winger and found a nice home there. The foresight by Don Sweeney to go out and make these moves and have them pay off the way they have is a feather in his cap. And the fourth line has always been, it's not a fourth line. I mean, we call it the fourth line, but it's always been a factor for the Bruins. And now that they're chipping in offensively, can underscore the importance of Sean Corrali to his return in that Toronto series, I thought turned things around. So look, this team is so deep. It's a handful for the Carolina Hurricanes to handle. I'm not shocked that this series is 3-0 in the Bruins' favor right now. The time off that the Hurricanes had after sweeping the Islanders, I thought was going to hurt them. It certainly has proven to be the case. And this opponent, the Bruins, they're a much different opponent than the New York Islanders. The Islanders, they had issues trying to score goals and generating offense. The Boston Bruins do not have that issue. So do the Hurricanes have an answer in Game 4? I don't think they do. I think this series ends in 4. I think there'll be a little bit of a resistance from the Hurricanes early on in this hockey game. But at the end of the day, it is really hard to battle back in a series and dig deep and find a way to come back and win from down 3-0. I just don't see it happening. I think the Bruins are going to have a nice long break before they get to the Stanley Cup final.
Bush, we really appreciate you taking the time to join us. It's been fun watching your work with Doc and Edzo. And we'll talk to you again soon. Thank you.
All right, guys. Have a great day. Thanks
Brian. Take care. That is Brian Boucher, who is with NBC Sports. He is between the benches, obviously, with the number one team, Mike Emmerich and Eddie Olczyk, and he's done a great job for them. So his thoughts is this thing ends tomorrow night.
I agree with him.
I'm going to make an argument that it shouldn't.
Oh, no.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
I'm not shocked that this series is 3-0 in the Bruins' favor right now. The time off that the Hurricanes had after sweeping the Islanders, I thought was going to hurt them. It certainly has proven to be the case. And this opponent, the Bruins, they're a much different opponent than the New York Islanders. The Islanders, they had issues trying to score goals and generating offense. The Boston Bruins do not have that issue. So do the Hurricanes have an answer in Game 4? I don't think they do. I think this series ends in 4. I think there'll be a little bit of a resistance from the Hurricanes early on in this hockey game. But at the end of the day, it is really hard to battle back in a series and dig deep and find a way to come back and win from down 3-0. I just don't see it happening. I think the Bruins are going to have a nice long break before they get to the Stanley Cup final.
Brian Boucher from NBC Sports, who joined us a few minutes ago. And look, there are a lot of people. I was one of them who said if Carolina doesn't win Game 3, Sweet. They're not winning Game 4.
I agree.
I'm going to make the philosophical argument that they might be better off not sweeping.
All right, I'll play along.
All right, here's the deal. They play tomorrow night, which is May 16th.
Yes.
Generally speaking, the National Hockey League likes to start the Stanley Cup Final on Memorial Day, which is Monday the 27th. Now, we don't know how long...
That's a long break.
Yeah, we don't know how long St. Louis and San Jose are going to go. We don't know if they ended this thing earlier than 6 or 7. Would the NHL move it up? My guess is the NHL wants to start the final on Monday the 27th. Do you want the Bruins to be off for 12 days?
12 days is a long time.
It's a lot.
That's a lifetime. And Columbus dealt with that, right? Columbus dealt with that after they swept
Carolina
Tampa Bay.
Carolina sweeps the Islanders. Yeah. And as Bush told us, they're sitting around, had trouble cranking it back up. I'm not saying that there wouldn't be benefits for some players. There'd be great benefits.
But that's almost too much. Like, that's an insane amount of time if you're talking about. Like, I could even see 4 or 5 days.
Like if and
pushing
and
a week, but now you're pushing 2 weeks.
Obviously, you want to win as soon as you can win.
Of course.
I understand that. I'm just saying you could make an argument that the Bruins might be better off, even if they came home and played Game 5 on Saturday and win it in 5. Now, that's the 18th.
Yeah.
Now, you've shortened the time off a little bit before a Stanley Cup final run starts. Now, I know there are folks out there who are going to go, oh, yeah, remember Philadelphia, 3-0 series
Give
lead.
Give them life.
3-0 lead in Game 7. And it's why my first instinct is win it. Win it as soon as you can win it, that's get mine. It over with.
Yeah, that's what I say. And so the West, game three is tonight in St. Louis.
And that series is tied 1-1
right,
now.
So the earliest that series could be over is Sunday. If one of these teams wins the next three, then it's over on Sunday. The latest it could go...
And it probably won't be that quick.
I don't think it will either. But now they also play Tuesday the 21st, and Thursday, a potential game seven would be May 23rd. And you're talking about maybe May 27th or so could be when the cup begins. I don't think this series, the Bruins, has any chance of going six or seven. So basically what you're saying is, do you want to buy two more days?
Right.
Do you want two more days? And I just feel a lot really can happen. And like just the idea of an injury could pop up in an extra game. Or
absolutely.
We've also seen how quick Sergei Bobrovsky went from looking like the best goaltender in hockey to mortal in one game. Right? Like, he was still good. He was still better than, you know, what Carolina has. He's still better than Frederik Andersen. But he went from looking unstoppable to mortal. So let's say you play an extra game and all of a sudden Tuukka is no longer in the zone. And I guess the counter argument could be if he sits out 12 days, maybe he won't be in the zone anymore either. But what if they randomly get, they win a game 4-3 and it's a couple of soft goals. And you're like, well, wait a minute. Now Tuukka doesn't look quite as dominant as he did before. It's just another reason to me, wrap it up as soon as possible.
Oh, and please don't misunderstand the point here. From the Bruins' perspective, they want to get it over with tomorrow night. They are going to be desperately trying to put this thing away tomorrow night.
That's a long layoff.
Never in a million years will those players ever think in terms of, well, you know, maybe if we didn't win this one, it'd be better. No, they want to end it.
The one thing I would say about the long layoff maybe not being quite as bad is if you're the team that is opening at home, right? Because now you're going to have the home team behind you, and it's game one of the cup final. The place will be going nuts. Yeah. So even if you're still trying to find your skates a little bit, the place is going so crazy that you can't help but be ready to go for the first period. Now, if it was
You've also, by the way, played a seven-game series and a six-game series.
Yes.
The six-game series especially was very physical. This has been pretty physical so far. All of those reasons are reasons why you want to get this over with and get guys an opportunity to heal up a little bit.
Because you could take 2 or 3 days off. You could have a really hard practice. You could take another couple days off. You know what I mean?
Yep.
You're going to have to get creative. It's going to have, you know, Bruce Cassidy is going to have to find a way to do this. I think John Tortorella had his issues. Remember, he said they tried getting like, didn't they have fans come in and watch practice or
they
something?
Did. Yeah, they tried to do it like a regular game conditions.
So it's tricky. It's tricky. But yeah, but put me down for, you know, taking care of business tomorrow and then figuring out the rest later.
I think that the Bruins will desperately be trying to end it tomorrow. I actually think they're going to end it tomorrow. But I think you could at least make a case that they might be better off overall if they ended it on Saturday here at home. 617-779-7937 is the telephone number. Jermaine Wiggins is in the house. He's going to join us. We've got some Wednesdays with Wiggy stuff we'll talk about. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.